Hello, I'm Ned88. Welcome to my podcast where I catch the geocachers to learn more about this amazing game.
Herbs is a geocaching team from Southeast Queensland, comprising of husband and wife, Pete and Jan. When I think of bushwalking on the Gold Coast hinterland, the first geocache owners I think of are Herbs. I doubt that there is a mountain or rainforest track that they haven't explored between Brisbane and the border. In this episode, I've been able to meet up with Herbs over Zoom for a chat about bushwalking and how it fits in with geocaching. Thanks for sitting down with me tonight, guys. How are you going?
Hi, Ned. We're good, thanks. How are you?
Hi, Ned. Hello.
Good. So, Herbs, when did you guys start geocaching and how many roughly have you found?
Well, we started in 2008. Bit of a funny story, really. We went back to the UK. We'll probably tell we're from there originally. We went back to see family and friends back in 2008. And one of our friends told us about this strange hobby sport where you have to find boxes in the woods. And thought, oh, that sounds a bit odd. So anyway, the next day we planned to go out with them and they were going to show us what it was all about. However, that evening, our eldest daughter, she had a bit of a health scare, nothing serious in the end, but I had to take her to emergency hospital that next day. So we never actually ended up going with our initial friends who told us about it. So that was that.
So anyway, we had to say farewell to our friends, but we went to Bristol to visit some other friends and we told them all about geocaching and they love walking. So looked up a geocache on their computer and we set off for this walk around the countryside. I don't think we actually had a GPS. We just sort of had an Ordnance Survey map.
We looked at it on the computer from memory.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, anyway, we had a rough idea of where it was.
So anyway, we arrived at this little country T-junction, very narrow country lanes, looked around, looked for ages, couldn't find it, rang up their son. He went on the computer to try and help us, but obviously that didn't work. So we had to leave it. However, when we were leaving the next day, we had sort of our three adult children on board. Let's just swing by and have one more look. So that's what we did. We went to this little country road, the T-junction, and we were hunting in all the bushes and the little stone walls there. And then a farmer came along on his quad bike and just asked if we could be a human barrier because he was bringing all the cows down the road and he wanted them to turn left and not right.
Well, if anybody knows Mrs. Herbs, you know that cows and her don't really see eye to eye. So that was a big scary moment for Mrs. Herbs.
And sure enough, all these cows came down the road, a whole herd of them, with a great big bull in the middle. And I was cowering behind my family. But they will turn left, fortunately, and we lived to search another day. But that was our first DNF.
Yeah, so we didn't really start too well, to be honest. The first one was a DNF. And then after that, we didn't actually do anything till we got back to Australia. A couple of weeks after that, we were down in Broome's Head and thought we'd have a look for another one. And our very first cache was one of Liz and Bruce's, who most people will know. Clean Sweep, I think it's called, down there, beautiful cache. And since then, we've found about 4,300.
I don't know many people who started off with a DNF and kept going, so kudos for that, I guess. So when I think of you guys, I automatically think of bushwalks and hiking. Did you do this bushwalking before you got into geocaching?
We liked walking. We used to sort of go for walks to walk the dogs, but we didn't actually go very far because we had three children who didn't like walking. So we didn't really do any serious walks. On my 40th birthday, Pete and I managed to get away for a bushwalking weekend without the children, which was wonderful. And we did that a couple of times. And then we moved over here. So that was our extent of
bushwalking. That's right. We used to drag them up to the rainforest and do sort of short walks, I guess. But yeah, the kids always win, don't they? So we didn't do anything really serious until they got old enough to be left and we could get into it a bit. And then it really took off from there, I suppose.
So geocaching kind of got you into bushwalking more so than the other way around then?
Oh, yes, I think so, yes. Because, you know, we would say, oh, there's a bushwalk down there. That's a long way. That's like 10 kilometres. We don't normally walk that far, but we would because there's a geocache. So,
So it was a natural evolution, I guess. So one thing led to the other and vice versa.
You guys have hidden a lot of geocaches that involve bushwalking. How do you keep finding so many great spots?
Well, it's me that's probably responsible for that. I love to explore. So if we're out walking somewhere known, I'm always looking to see, what's down there around the corner or over that little that bit there. Especially if I see some tapes and some trees, I think, why is that there? So I'll go and have a look. The internet's a wonderful thing as well, and there's a lot of stuff, if you look hard enough, where you can find places that maybe are less well known. And I did actually get hold of two old books, one of which is out of print. They're called The Secrets of the Scenic Rim by John Rankin. That one's actually just come back into print again. And there's another one called The Bush People's Guide to Walking in Southeast Queensland. And these books are quite old. They've been around 20, 30 years. And I've got a lot of old walks in there, you know, not that well described, but if you know where to go, you can use them to sort of link together places or try and find somewhere which is a little bit off the beaten track or been forgotten. And yeah, I love finding places like that.
So once you find these places in the book and then you go out and explore them a little bit, what kind of step is there for you between exploring this track and getting a geocache there? Like, is there a bit of a process to that? How do you know that it's a walk that is suitable for a geocache?
Yeah, well, I think you need to do is you have to check permission that you can actually hide a geocache along the walk that you want to show people, because it might be on private land or might be in the national parks, which in Queensland you have to have permission to hide geocaches in a national park.
Okay. You didn't always do. We've got a few caches actually which have containers in national parks, but it was a few years ago now that the national park authorities decided that geocaches were litter, so they stopped you. But more recently, it's been possible to get permission, but that sometimes is quite hard. Some of the national parks won't let you do it. Some will. So you've got to check that first. Yeah, that's the main thing. And also it might be on private property. There's some area like that. So you've got to be certain whether you can, you know, hide something in those areas. Also then you've got to decide what you want to hide. If you're going to hide it in that sort of at the end of the hike, it's really frowned upon to hide a very small or a nano or a micro cache, you know, in the bush. That's really frowned upon by most geocaches. So yeah, a deep container is quite good. And you might decide whether you want to camouflage it a bit, make it a bit more interesting or not. So those are a couple of things you should look out for. Then once you're there, if you're going to hide it in the bush, you've got to choose a suitable location, really. You want to hide it near the track or as close as you can to avoid destroying your vegetation. That's not what we want. We don't want people going to the beautiful places and digging up all the sensitive plants in the area. So you've got to find a suitable location, and that may or may not be possible where you want to hide it.
And then if you find that you really want to hide a cache on a walk, but you can't actually hide it, you're not allowed to, you can't get permission, another option that we have done is to actually hide a multi-cache. So people will have to go to certain waypoints and maybe answer questions. Like, there might be directional signs that people can get information from or count letters from and that kind of thing for a multi. And then you actually hide the final cache itself somewhere along the road that is public property. And that we found, having done quite a few of those, is actually quite a good idea, because caches do need maintenance. And if you've got to do a 10 or 20 kilometre hike to maintain one, and you don't really want to do that hike, you know, it's much easier doing a multi-option with a geocache right next to the road. So you can just do a maintenance run and a few drive-bys. So there are some bonuses with having a multi-option to that.
It sounds like there's a lot of different options for hiding geocaches out in the bush without upsetting that natural habitat. That's really good to hear.
Well, that's right. Yes, that's right. Because you could always hide an earth cache too, if it's something, you know, there's some very good sort of rock formations or something like that. And that way there's nothing physical there for you to hide, and people don't have to destroy anything to find it.
Yeah. So you mentioned that some of these walks can be kind of 10, 20 Ks. I'm not ridiculously fit, Is there a good way that people can kind of measure up if the walk is going to be suitable or safe for them to do? Is there a method that you recommend?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, last thing you want to do is go on a full day's bush hike, which might involve leaving the track and bush bashing through areas, and some of them have those. So you don't want to do that to start off with. So choose a short walk and make sure it doesn't mention sort of off track or whatever. The terrain rating is probably the best way to check that. You've got the difficulty and the terrain. The terrain will give you a much better idea of what's involved with that. So anything sort of around sort of 3.5 to 4 or more, you know you're going to have a bit of a challenging time. So you should just be wary of that and maybe not choose that as your first bushwalk. Yeah, that's probably my idea.
But also when you look at your cache and you're reading it, if you look at the attributes, if it doesn't say in the description how long the walk will be, the attributes, there is a sort of less than 10 kilometre and more than 10 kilometre attribute. So there's that. But you still can't sort of decide whether it's a long walk or not. Read through some of the previous logs. They might sort of give you hints. Some people might say how long it actually took them to walk or how far they walked. You could also even sort of contact the CO of the geocache and see if the CO would actually come with you, because that's happened to us a few times.
Yeah, quite a few times we've contacted the CO and say, hey, not sure about this, you know, what can you help, you know, what's involved? And yeah, several times they've said, oh, we'll come with you. So that's great.
Yeah. At least, you know, you said, and you get a find at the end of the day for that one.
Yeah. And we've done that quite a few times as well. People have contacted us, said we want to go and do one of our hides, and we're not doing anything. We'll say, yeah, we'll come along. You know, we always love going on walks with other caches, so that's good.
So apart from reading the description and kind of looking up how long the walk is, are there any other kind of safety precautions that people need to think about before kind of starting off in bushwalking?
Yeah, I think if you're going to do something a little bit more remote or difficult, always a good idea to tell someone where you're going. You know, if you're going with somebody, that's great, but tell somebody who's staying behind where you're going. That's always a good idea. Also, what we tend to do or suggest is you can leave a note in your car windscreen if you're parking up in a car park somewhere. Just leave a note saying where you're going. You never know if you get into trouble and have to stay out overnight, you know, which can happen. If they come looking for you, they'll find your car and then they'll know where to look. So that's always a good idea to do that. And then it's the obvious things. I think, you know, these have probably been covered before. First aid kit is an essential thing, especially here in Southeast Queensland. Take a snake bite kit as well. It's like a special bandage you can use in case you get bitten by a wriggly stick. Water is probably the most vital thing. You know, we can survive quite a long time without food, but not so much with water. So take plenty of water with you, some food and footwear. That's also vital. A lot of people we see on bushwalks go in thongs and unsuitable footwear. So make sure you've got good, covered, sturdy footwear. If you've got a GPS and or phone, take some batteries or a charging pack so you don't run out. And also think about, well, if you are on a real challenging walk and you do get into trouble or get lost, you may have to stay out all night. So just take something a little bit warmer with you, just in case, because otherwise you'll be spending a very uncomfortable night in the bush. So just a few things there which you need to think about.
And I assume with all those things, quite a decent-sized backpack as I carry them all.
Yes, the fitting all in, yes.
Yeah. Oh, you can probably, something like a 35-litre, you can get most of those things in there. So it's not too big.
Do you guys have any favourite or memorable bushwalks that you would like to share with us?
Oh, I've been thinking a lot about that because there's so many. We're very blessed living here in Queensland, Southeast Queensland. There's so many beautiful places to explore. One of my standout favourites is to find a geocache, and the cache is called Around Mount Bangalora. It's one thing that I enjoy with doing the bushwalks and the geocaching is going in a group, because it's a camaraderie, and it's also helping each other. You know, you all walk at different speeds, but it's getting everyone back safely together. Not leaving anyone behind. And Mount Bangalora, that was quite a challenging walk. We actually went with the CO, who thought he knew a really good shortcut he'd like to try, which we got lost, had to retrace our steps.
Yes.
Quite a lot of steepness involved, wasn't there?
Yes, and quite a lot of the words were pointed to the CO. So Kate and Co.
Yeah. But the best bit was jumping in the gorge. There was a gorge we had to sort of swim through. So we had to make sure our backpacks were waterproof, and we had a series of sort of pools we had to clamber, slide, jump into. It was great fun, or a bit sort of scary at times, because there was a snake swimming in one of the pools.
Yeah.
And then sort of towards the end, there was quite a steep slide down into the pool, which most of the group were quite brave and jumped, but I had a rope and slid down the rope and splashed. But it was really, really good. And we had to take a change of clothes to dry, you know, so we could walk out in the dry. So it was a big, big day, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was good fun.
It was good fun. In fact, we went back some while later. We told our children about it and they wanted to do it. So, we took them back and redid it, and they loved it. So leaping into the pools and all that sort of thing. That's a good one. For me, I suppose the last sort of few years, we've done a couple of caches which involve sort of overnight stays. And the ones that I liked, we did the Rootburn Track in New Zealand, which is a 2 or 3 night overnight hike. And there's quite a few caches along there. But the scenery is just beautiful. I mean, you really can't get better mountain scenery. In fact, we didn't actually find all the caches along. I think it was about 5 or 6 along the Rootburn Track, one of which we were so spellbound by the scenery, we walked right past it. So we've got to go back and do that. And the one at the top of the pass, the Harris Saddle, the wind was so severe. And
it was a bit of snow around.
Snow there. It was buried. It got cold. So we said, now, leave that one. We'll come back another time. But there was a few we could get along that track, and it was just sensational. And the other one we've done more recently with some geocaching friends was the Three Capes Walk in Tasmania. That's a relatively new walk. That was 3 nights in huts. It was a little bit easier, that one, but just beautiful scenery on the southern tip of Tasmania. And there's a few caches along there as well, which added to the enjoyment of that cache. So, I really like those multi-day options. So we'll be doing a few more of those in the next year or two, no doubt.
Once we can travel.
Yeah, once we can travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me and talking about bushwalks tonight. I always like to ask my guests if they have any advice for new geocachers who are just starting out.
I think so. Especially with bushwalking, always a good idea. If you haven't done it before, you're not familiar with our bush here in southeast Queensland, try and go with someone more experienced than you. You know, ask other people to go with you. And if you're not sure how to do that, go to some events. There's plenty of events that are put on. And if you go there, you'll always meet people who are keen to do those sort of things. So
that's a great way of meeting fellow geocachers, is going to events. Because you've always got something to talk about, because you talk about finding the last cache you found or didn't find or something like that. But also, especially at the moment, you can't go to events, but you can join a local geocaching Facebook group. Again, you get talking to like-minded people online. Or you could, once restrictions have eased, you could always start to post your own walk event.
Yeah, on Facebook.
Either do a Facebook event or a geocaching event.
Yeah.
So there are different ways to meet people, so you can go walking with them.
I guess going to events is how I met you guys, and you've dragged me up many a mountain. And
you've never forgiven us, have you?
No, never, never. Every time you promise it's reasonably flat, and it never is. I don't know why I believe you anymore.
You should know by now, Matt.
I should. Oh, thank you so much for sitting down with me. Hopefully we can be let out and we can go for a hike together soon.
Yes.
We look forward to it.
If you would like to be a guest on an episode or have a topic you would like me to cover, you can message me through my geocaching profile. The link is in the episode notes. Happy geocaching.